So I must say, welcome to the satsang portion of today. And I will try to alternate questions that have come in online or online today with one here in the room, if there is any. So I will take one first that's been sent in already. We have two now. And then if you have any questions online you want to ask or share something, feel free to raise your hand. I'll ask for questions here too. And we'll see how much we can get through in the hour. This first one says, "Hi, Helen, thank you for your teachings. I thought I was more centered and guided, but I'm a panicky mess over a bat in my apartment, having constant pest issues while clean. That my rental management didn't help with. It's reinforcing that I'm unsafe, rabies, etc. And I can't even feel safe in my home at all. Something I felt at every home my whole life must be a theme. Can't afford to break the lease, feel stuck. And have you ever heard of bats in your home being a sign of death of someone close? It has me scared too, even though I think I should know better and do inquiry, but it has been hard to calm down to do so." So let me start by saying I don't know of any sort of thing that says that bats are a sign of the death of someone close. It doesn't mean it's not so. I really just don't know. Couldn't comment on that. But what's interesting from what you said here for me is this this fear about the bat itself and really the pest issues in general. I don't feel safe in my home. But most importantly to me is that you feel stuck. You know, you can't break your lease and you can't solve the problem as either. You can't seem to get rid of the pest issues. And to me, that's the underlying feeling that's keeping this whole thing in place. So there's a feeling of there's a situation happening and it's a feeling of being powerless to do anything, feeling stuck. So that's where I would spend some time questioning if I were you, because the situation is a reflection, is a mirror image of how we feel inside. And the moment we begin to change how we feel inside, our outside world has to change too. I absolutely went through this stage. My two cats, who never have fleas, ever, just 1 year were... Oh, it was awful. So, and I tried every single thing I could to get rid of them. And eventually I looked at this feeling really stuck, powerless to do anything about this. I tried everything and none of that was going to work until I'd looked at this feeling of being powerless, being stuck or trapped. Can't move forward. Can't do anything about this situation. Here's this energy that's holding it in place. If you are the infinite self, is this still true? Remember, you are the bats or fleas in my case. That was a really weird thing to realize, but anyway, moving on. And you are the money you need to, and you are the landlord or the person who holds the lease, the management. All of that is you. So all of it will change when you start to question if it's true you're stuck. It feels like it. I understand that. It really does. But if we can see that what's going on inside is mirroring outside, then it will begin to resolve. Okay, so I have one more that's just been sent in, but if there's a question either online or in the room, feel free to. I will ask you to come and sit in the not so hot seat because so that we can all hear online as well. So if anybody would like to ask anything or share anything, and nobody wants to go first. Every retreat, nobody wants to put the hand up. And then at the end of the hour, we're like trying to squash everyone in. So who's going to be brave?
I am.
Yeah. Very brave. It's actually easier sitting here because you can't see anyone else, yeah. Right? It's just me and you having a chat.
So I don't know what triggered it in this morning's talk. But yesterday I talked a bit about being socially awkward. I'm getting emotional.
Take your time. It's really okay. We all love you and you're in a safe place. Take a moment if you need to.
And I realized this for a time. I've been locking myself inside a prison. I don't allow myself to be free, especially around others, because I'm terrified I will hurt someone.
You're doing so well. It's not easy to share this, is it? Need tissue there if you need. Sometimes even just having the courage to sit here and say this is changing something, isn't it? This isn't something you would normally do. Here you are doing something different here. Terrifying maybe, but also different.
And I know all kinds of things about this, like it's life energy trying to break me free. But I'm afraid of the power sometimes coming through me, mm-hmm. when I just relax and
is that power because, you know, you're right, when you relax and you let go, the power can really seem to increase and mm-hmm. be very, very strong and surge sometimes. But can you be afraid of it if it is also you, if you are everything and everywhere? Can you be afraid of this power still? Can you see that too? To be afraid of it, we've somehow separated ourselves from it, said it's something different, it's something out of my control, it's dangerous maybe even. I can't control it. And that's where the fear comes mm-hmm. from.
Yeah. I'm afraid I will destruct something that is precious.
So looking at what we mean by power is, you know, for me that was important. In the world today, with many examples of force, people forcing others to do something. So a governmental power, a military power, organizational power, is different to the power here, isn't it, that we're talking about. This power, spiritual power of truth, only comes when you relax. It doesn't come any other time. It's not forcing itself on you. It's different. It would wait forever if you chose to stay sat in that seat rather than sitting here now, wouldn't it? It would never force itself on you in that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's not destructive in the way that we see worldly power can be destructive. Can you see the difference?
I know. I'm afraid my ego will take this power and bend it a little. Or,
well, I've got good news for you there. Yeah. I've got some really good news for you there. Ego can't actually do anything with this. The moment we try to use this power,
mm-hmm.
if I tried to use this power over you right now, like I'm so spiritual and you're not, you know, my ego kind of, then I would lose that power. I would cut it off.
Yeah.
Because I'd close myself down. See, it comes. Yeah. It's so safe. It comes with its own inbuilt safety guarantee.
That's good to hear.
Which is why any large organization built on force has always eventually collapsed. It's not stable, is it? This surge of forceful movement trying to make something happen always collapses. Every great military empire that's ever existed, or any system of government that wasn't for the best interests of all, has collapsed. You know, even the great empires like Rome and everything, all collapsed because they were built on force and not power, not this power. not doing something because it's the right thing to do and it makes me happy. It's doing something to try to get something from others back, from the world. This power here, it just is. It's not even doing, it doesn't want to do anything, does it? It just is. It just kind of fills you up when you let it, when you relax into it. And, you know, the other thing that's helpful to know is you don't have to let it all in at once. You can just let as much in as you feel safe with and improve to yourself experientially that nothing disastrous happened when I did that, you know. And ultimately, what's underneath the core of this is it's not safe to be me. It's not safe mm-hmm. to be my authentic self because there's something flawed about me is the idea, something bad in me. And if I just suddenly be myself, everyone and everything will see that and I'll lose control over it and I'll just be this horrible person. But the more we relax, the more we're seeing what we actually are rather than what we think we are. Look how brave and courageous you've been here. That's not what anything your ego could have done, is it? Where did this come from, this choice to sit here, even though you're obviously not finding it easy?
No.
It came from a deeper place.
I always had the courage, but I thought the other thing was more important to keep it down somehow. And I noticed...
But only if you think it's something harmful and just mm-hmm. that's what we've looked at today, isn't it? Is it really the same kind of power? And I use that word in worldly terms in speech marks because it's not real power. It's a lot of egos shoving in one direction and eventually it collapses.
Mm-hmm.
This is different. This is, as you said, life force energy moving, and there's nothing safer than that. And the moment that you try to use that to take advantage of someone, it's gone. You've cut it off. You closed down your energetic system. And because of that, it really cannot hurt anyone. It's actually holding it back that hurts other people and ourselves, isn't it? Because we're then functioning from an egoic level where we're scared or feeling guilty or,
mm-hmm.
you know, sort of really trying to control mm-hmm. ourselves. And that's when we make choices that aren't for our own good and others.
Yeah.
How do you feel now? You feel more relaxed?
Yeah.
Just spend the next few, you know, maybe in a contemplation time after this, just thinking about the difference between this kind of power and, you know, what you've seen. We've all had that message that having any kind of power makes you either go completely evil or insane or just cold, you know, not caring about anything. And that's a different type of power, isn't it? There's nothing more natural and safe than this energy.
Mm.
It's the same energy that's moving all of this. There's nothing destructive about a tree or a flower. So why should there be anything destructive about you when you let this flow? Just this tiny little idea that there's something, somehow you were made wrong or something like that. That there was a flaw in your design or mm-hmm. something. And it'll really show if you let this power magnify it. It's all nonsense.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it doesn't feel true because it does at first. Yeah. But
I notice when I'm just in presence and I notice people are positively affected by just being, that's all lovely. But
and that's the power, presence power, same thing.
Yeah, but I also have with words can be very direct or...
There's nothing wrong with that. I had to get used to that myself because I have a tendency to be very direct.
Mm.
So I had to make sure I was using that skill in the best possible way. So the words can be direct, but not blunt. Mm-hmm. They can cut through to the truth of something without being hurtful. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking at that ability to be direct as something negative about you that you need to get rid of, then it will come out in a way that's perhaps not best.
I think I was just told that.
Yeah.
I'm realizing now by people who don't like to be, who don't see
want
the truth.
To hear what you want to say, yeah. So everything I was trying to get rid of about myself, like this, was actually something I needed for what I was here to do, or the body was here to do. So it was, became a question of where can I use this to the best advantage to serve other beings, to, you know, to help myself. I tried to tell my sister, you know, very directly, she doesn't want to hear. And I try to tell you guys, you love it, you know. So where do I use that for the highest good? And then you just draw to you people that want that anyway. You know? It's not the skill in itself. It's what you think about it and where you're using it. There's nothing inherently good or bad about you in that way. It's just a question of, have you found the right place to use it yet? So maybe just pondering that as well. What is this here for, this ability to be direct? Where can I use it? It's there on purpose by design. And don't be afraid of yourself in that way. Well, don't be afraid of yourself at all, but especially not that. Every great spiritual teacher that's ever walked this planet has had that ability to be very, very direct and cutting, and, you know, some sugarcoat it a bit more with, you know, nice words, and some don't, but still the same thing.
Okay, thank you.
Well done for sharing. I've got a friend. Okay, I will come to you in a minute, Angie. I'll just read this one that's coming very quickly. This says, hi, Helen, sending so much love to all. So glad to be on retreat. Treating ourselves once again, wherever we are, to the gratefulness, beauty, wow, you're making me work, and stillness, which can only be here-ness. Yeah, phew. The words flowing from the words flowing from you, Helen, are like nectar. Not so much this afternoon. They feel so rich and filling. Can you speak more of home? Is that home, om, the stillness or silence before the flowing of people, places, thoughts, events? Or is home whatever is happening right now, regardless of whether that happening is peaceful or chaotic? There is still the story or thought arising that home must be something more than I can fathom, with so much gratitude. So is it the home feeling? Is it the stillness, the peace, the silence that we were feeling in meditation? Or is it just being with all of this? And I'm paraphrasing what you've said here, whether it's chaotic or not, peaceful or not. And I'd like to say it's both. You know, I know teachers do this all the time and it used to frustrate me. You know, somebody asks a question, is it this one or this one? And you go, yeah, it's both, you know. But it really is, it's both, because they're both the same thing. The stillness, the peace shows up as all of this movement, and sometimes it's chaotic and sometimes it's peaceful, sometimes it's harmonious and it's flowing. You can have that same home or om feeling if you're in that mode of being, no matter whether you're focused on the manifestational side of it. So when we're planning for an event like this, there's a lot of planning to do and organizational stuff. We're still in that flow, we're still in that home feeling. And then we come and we sit and we just sit in silence, and it's a deep, deep peace. Or there's not, and there's turbulence, but it's the same thing. Mind always asks the question, is it either or? And the self says it's both, because it sees they're just two different ways that the same self, capital S, can show up. So I hope that that helps. Lovely. We'll go to you, Angie.
Hi, Helen. Hi. Absolutely loving every single minute of this. Thank you so much.
Wonderful.
Not quite sure how I'm going to form this question, because it's not fully formed in my mind. And it's about this very long-standing physical illness and the sort of various revelations that have come from encountering you and asking you repeatedly about it. It's becoming increasingly obvious by increments that an ill body does not mask silence. In other words, it's not a problem, it's not in the way. However, it is unpleasant. But it does enable me to live a life that I always wanted. I always, always wanted to live a contemplative life. I wanted to be a nun and a monk. And life didn't turn out that way, etc.
Not in this lifetime, anyway.
Not in this lifetime. Some of the suggestions you have presented to me, questioning deeply held beliefs about illness, have been incredibly challenging and brought up a lot of anger and defensiveness. So I've looked at that and thought, well, that's obviously touching a deeply held belief.
And that's normal, isn't it? I mean, it's...
Yeah.
Wherever we've held a certain way of thinking for a while, there's going to be a real thing inside us that says, you just, it's pointless to question this, you know, a real sort of don't do that feeling.
And yes, and taking that further, I've recognized that part of me doesn't want to question it because I so don't want to feel a failure. I mean, I've spent thousands and thousands of pounds on trying to heal myself with all kind of promised solutions. Seeing as I'm starting to see that it's not a problem and not in the way, can I just skip the whole trying to heal the body thing? Or is that an avoidance? I'm really not sure. I'm hoping I can just dedicate the rest of this life to the delicious silence and have and not go down rabbit holes of trying and failing and of healing the body, because the body's going to kick the bucket anyway. What are your thoughts on that, particularly as you know me a little bit and we've discussed this a bit?
Well, from my perspective, there was a point where I couldn't focus on healing anything without it making the idea more prevalent that there was something that needed healing. And it was directly in contradiction then. I mean, there was a time when that was, for me, my finances, as you know, were just, and my relationships were very much seemed in need of healing. But if I focused on that at a certain point, it was a rabbit hole and it went off on a tangent. And all the time I was reinforcing the idea that there's an issue to be fixed. Of course, the challenge with that is mine says that we're just ignoring, in your case, you're ignoring how the body is if you don't focus on it. But then if we can bring a higher question, what's the best way to heal the body now? Maybe it isn't to keep believing that there is a body, that this is a body, and that there is an illness in it. Maybe if I see that this is now, if I begin to see what the body really is, that it's made of silence, that it's made of light, that it's made of vibration, whatever we want to call it. And in that, there's no room for any idea that there's anything wrong with the body. So in that, the body will begin to revert back to its natural state of health and vitality and healing, wholeness already. Because the truest meaning of the word healing is not to fix something that's wrong. It's kind of to restore it to its original state. Same as the word redemption. It's kind of not making something right that was wrong. It's putting it back clearly into its original state.
So when... Oh, bless your heart, because I'm making you repeat yourself every time I talk to you about this.
Okay, that's what I'm here for.
Because this was a sort of an answer you gave me a few weeks ago. So to see,
it contradicts the ideas, doesn't it? That's why it needs to be asked. The answer's contradicting everything everybody else in the world would say. You have to work, you have to heal your body.
Yeah.
And I'm not for a second saying ignore it. Of course, look mm-hmm. after it, do what you can. Take yes. whatever medicine you've been given, all of that, you know.
Yeah.
work with the doctors. But can you do that from a place where there's nothing wrong really with it?
I totally resonate with this. It's not putting any energy into the false notion that I'm a body or the body even exists. So when you say see the body as vibration, as light, as consciousness, that can't be the result of an ego doing anything. That can only be surely resting in and as silence.
Yeah, or with the question, what really is this body? Because you've got two roads ahead of you. One is based on the idea that that is a human body right there, and so is this. And if we buy that first idea, then we've got a whole lot of other ideas that cling on to that, such as the body can be ill, the body can die, it's going to age, deteriorate. All of that is based on the idea that that really is a body. And the other road is, I don't really know what this is. I've always just called it body. It's a nice, convenient label to have, isn't it? But just like anything in manifestation, it's not what it appears to be at all. And as I get more in touch with the essence of that body, the healing is going to begin to reflect anyway through that as you go. And that's really the only place that any advice from doctors and medication, all that stuff, can be truly effective anyway. So everything begins to work in harmony then. So if I'm taking medication or looking after my body, going to doctors, having an operation, whatever we're doing, working against that is this false idea that this actually is a body. Anytime we hold an idea about something, we're lowering the vibration of it just by holding an idea about it. And of course, it's generally accepted everywhere that this is a body. And when we call it a body, just for convenience, as opposed to a tree or a table. But here, that label is going to start to get in the way now, isn't it, for you? And that's what you're sensing intuitively, isn't it? I've come as far as I can with my mission in life, trying to heal this body. And naturally, there's a call to kind of go deeper into the silence and allow myself to see that this body is the silence. By spending some time with that, what actually is this body? What are the cells made of? What are the subatomic particles made of? What is my skin made of? You know, what is this? Any label that's been given to the illness in that body or the condition? Looking into what is actually that? What is that label? What does it mean? Of course, mine will say, well, it means this, and then this, you can't do this, and you've got to do that. Going deeper than all of that, questioning the label itself until you get back to silence. I don't really know what this is. And then the body's allowed to naturally resonate in the highest frequency it's got available to it in that moment. And that's really the same as healing. That's synonymous with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've seen so clearly that you are not at all what you think you are, then holding the idea that this is a human body, it is still too heavy now, you see. So what started this illness has gone. What's perpetuating it is something different now. Can you sense that?
Yeah.
Again, not ignoring the body. This is the best way to love it, isn't it, completely?
Absolutely, yeah.
Does that help?
Yes, it does.
Good. Lovely. Thank you.
Lovely, lovely.
Thanks, Angie. That was great.
Anytime.
Wonderful. I'm going to find a new word now just to annoy everyone. Okay. Any other questions in the room?
I remember my favourite place. I don't mean the seat or the building, I just mean retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew it was going to be amazing. I just had this sense, and here we are on the first full day, and it's been amazing. I had a huge download of something. Just can't even describe it. You get emotional now. Feel absolutely amazing, and it's lovely to be with everyone. And now, even in this satsang, when I close my eyes and I start to drift into the real depth of it, it doesn't feel like a full fear, but the bodily reaction is a fear. And there's a kind of sense of falling. And I'm forever doing this. And I'm not falling asleep. And in the download that happened, I recognized the miracle of my existence and that this body isn't anything to do with me, with self.
Yeah.
Well, it is, but I'm not. I don't.
It's all right, you're doing okay.
words are not part of it either, apparently.
I know exactly what you mean today.
So I've just recognised that, and I've had it before, but it's gone a lot deeper, that everything within this body, all the things that I think are issues, are just not. And then there's this fear around the body, because it, you know, in the silent sittings, and not so much the guided meditation, that was quite busy for me, which was fine, but in the silent sittings I'm going really, really deep, and then there's this jolt, and when Ian taps that thing gently and I jump out of my skin, you know, it's happening, every little noise I'm jumping away. So I'm just wondering if you could help with that a bit.
So so there's this sense of falling in the sense of we sit here in silence and there's a deepening going on. And if that is identified with even the slightest bit, then there'll be a sense that something's happening to you.
Yeah.
So you are this room here, in which one of the body-mind vehicles is feeling a lot more energy, stillness, peace, quite an intense deepening happening to the body while you're watching.
Very much.
But if there's a slight identification with, and of course it's fun to identify with that, isn't it? Like, whoa, I'm really getting it this time. You know, last retreat I was just insane. This time it's like beautiful, you know. So we kind of buy a hold of that. But the downside of that, of course, is it's the same startle reflex you see in babies, isn't it? That, oh, danger or something.
Is that what it feels?
And because of this idea that I was gone for a while and now something brings me back, something jolts me back into, whether it's the singing bowl or some sound in the room or something coming up inside an emotion or something.
Yeah.
So just gently shifting your identification to, I'm the space in which all of this is occurring.
Yeah.
And even if my senses are not being paid attention to, if I'm just kind of like this, gone, or the body, there's no, the senses are still functioning, but nobody's listening to them in a way. That's different to, I'm gone, and something might jolt me back to normal consciousness.
Lost me there, sorry.
Okay, so you're just being the space in which it happens.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're listening to stimuli through the body and sometimes you're not.
Yeah.
But either way, you're the same.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's felt like there's something being jolted and I'm watching it all happen, but then occasionally it's impacting on.
Inherent in that impact and that jolting is the sense that something's changing for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that you're only, let's say the person next to you in meditation is coughing or, I don't know, you know, you happen to be sat next to Ian with a singing bowl. There's really nothing wrong with your singing bowl activity, by the way. I just have to say. there's a sense that it's happening there and I'm here.
Yeah.
And it's disturbing my meditation. But opening it out, you are the one with the making the noise, whichever way also, aren't you?
Yeah, that really helps.
It's just the subtle ways that we kind of still hold this I am the body, like, very subtle, but still nonetheless.
Because I've not been, I've not felt that for such a long time, the shock of it. And I was like, wow, there seems to be this huge revelation, and then that. So I knew there was a link, but
even deeper now in meditation, the body, you'll find that probably the body doesn't move at all, no matter what's going on around it.
Well, I feel
because it's reflecting this idea that nothing's happening to me.
I feel like I'm losing sense of the body. I'm very aware that this isn't anything to do with me directly. So it's amazing what's going on. So that really, really helps.
It's just like anything in awakening and retreat in general, it's just showing you where there's still a tiny bit of identification with the body. And I had to look at this myself before I could really, before this, my body just kept shifting around and doing all, there's no way I could have just sat for 40 minutes without stretching or any, something. So there's just this idea that I'm the one doing this, and then I'm the one impacted by it.
Yeah, the ironic thing is I've had a tickly cough, so I'm the one who's been disturbing everyone because I keep having coughing fits.
There's the other side of the coin. Exactly. I'm disturbed.
It's been quite strange because I've never felt so less in my body than today. I've had many experiences of it, but it's been much bigger, and yet.
Is it that you're less in your body, or is it that there's less belief in it being a body?
Yeah.
And therefore you experience it not as solid, not as dense. Moving on. Lighter in vibration than it. You're doing really well today, Anne.
Yeah, very well.
You get the idea.
Yeah. Thank you. That's really good. Thanks.
Lovely. We've got time for one or two more.
I might have asked you this question, Helen.
That's okay.
I'm going to ask it again.
Yeah.
It's a sense I've had my whole life of knowing the existence prior to this.
Yeah.
Whatever this is. And I guess it's always had a sense of resistance to wanting to have this experience fully with this.
Yeah.
Whatever this, I've never known what this is. It's always felt a bit alien. This.
Suddenly there's a body here, and I'm not really sure how that came about.
Yes. And I can remember for years saying to my mum, well, just all the questions, why, what, this funny thing.
Yeah.
So it's really kind of, there was a point prior to realization of, you know, that direct experience of what we actually are, of, well, I'm just going to end my life because it's stupid having this body.
Yeah.
That went after that realization, but I still live with that question, why do I get up each day?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have anybody to take care of personally. I don't have children or partners or... And this just a question I have. Like, I could lie down.
Do you have a bigger family? A much bigger family, like a really big family.
I just feel I'm part of everything. Always.
Exactly. Yeah.
So the question is always this thing, this appearance. Like my desire always is to lie down under a tree and just go peacefully to sleep. Yeah. No attachment to this.
So why should that experience of lying under a tree and going to sleep be different than sitting here talking with me? Why should there be, or being in the middle of Tesco's on a Saturday afternoon, let's put it right out there.
Yeah.
Or you know, I don't know, some other worldly thing. Because as long as we believe there's a difference between the manifestational, you know, all of this, which isn't really all, but and that silent invisible space, then we'll find ourselves deeply preferring the silent invisible space. We'll be subtly rejecting this, and especially the body, as being either something that's no longer relevant or needed or even wanted.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. It's not wanted or needed or
yeah.
So it's a pushing, really, a little bit pushing, yeah.
So looking deeply, as we were saying with Angie, what the body actually is, coming to a deep understanding of what it's actually made out of. We can do this right now if you want to.
Yeah, let's.
So let's ask this question together. And I just want you to tell me any answer that comes up.
Yeah.
And we'll just go with it. I'm just going to ask, what really is this body? Because if we can come to understand experientially that it's absolutely divine, that it's not different to at all, that it only appears to be a body, and it's really this amazing stillness that we love so much, wouldn't you kind of fall in love with it all over again? Wouldn't you be then grateful for it? Wouldn't you be excited about having it? Wouldn't you want to see how you could use it to the highest? So there's this subtle idea behind it, that this is a body, and that because it's here, it's impacting my experience. And I just can't wait for it to go.
Yeah, no, I feel that, definitely.
Yeah. So let's have a look at that. Let's see what happens. Really, what is this body? And just seeing what happens. And we can all do this if you want to, you know, Angie especially, you know, it's relevant.
So my first answer would be just a bunch of sensations. Yeah. That actually is quite uncomfortable.
So whatever answer you give me, we're not going to analyze or judge. No. We're just going to stay with the question. And whatever happens, we're just going to come back. Okay, that's also true. It is a bunch of sensations. Is there any other deeper answer that we want to? Just seeing, you're not trying to make an answer appear here. You're just sitting with me. We're just waiting to see what answers come up. What actually is this here that's sat in this chair?
Actually, I don't really know what it is.
That's okay too. That's a valid answer, isn't it? And just staying with the question even longer than this. What really is this? And we're just trying to foster a little bit of curiosity. Maybe there's more to see about this than I've explored previously.
Well, then it just gets a sense of, well, it's me. But me, not little me, just me.
That's also a good answer. Let's stay with the question anyway.
Well, I just feel now the body's you and you and this.
And as we start to really get deeper into the answers, so you might feel how the body feels begins to change. Is something changing inside?
Yeah. It's relaxed. Yeah.
So the deeper the answer, the more the more relaxed the body is. Excuse me. And we can keep going with deeper and deeper answers, and the body will get more and more peaceful, more and more quiet. And eventually the experience of having a body will be just the same experience as when you're sitting in the deepest meditation, when you're completely absorbed in silence, formlessness, consciousness, whatever you want to call it. So stay with that question, no matter what answer comes, until just asking the question feels the same in the body. That's one of the beautiful gifts of having a body, is that it will reflect anything we believe to be true. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's a gift, sometimes not. But it can also immediately respond to a deeper question like this, immediately. Like, I don't actually know what this is, but I'm eternally curious as to what it actually is.
Actually, that's just opened it all up, that what you just said then. It's just.
So from here, any ideas about being in a body, out of a body, the body being alive, dead, here, absent, it's all gone from here, isn't it? So there's just a joy and the appearance of a body then. And from that place, the body does whatever it does is just going to help everyone. And it'll be a fun for you.
Actually, that feels really different.
Doesn't it? Doesn't it just? Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a very fashionable spiritual idea that having a body is either two prevailing perspectives in spirituality. One is it's a punishment. It's something I've got to use to kind of work myself back to wholeness, and then I'll be free of the body. Or the other side is that it's a gift and I can kind of use it to do. But all of those ideas are going to get in the way here. Anything arising out of stillness is made of stillness. Therefore, the experience of that thing should be the same as stillness. So you look at your own body and go, there's just a sense of stillness when you experience it. You look at anybody's body or anything eventually, a brick wall or anything, there's that same inherent stillness that we love. It's only the idea that this is something you've got to get out of or trapped inside.
Yeah.
Those ideas are terrifying.
Yeah.
What instead if it's something that's lovingly formed around you so that you can interact with yourself? Isn't that a different place?
Yeah, totally.
A condensation of a lighter vibration into a more physically visible appearance. Yeah. Made of love and silence.
Yeah, love it.
I don't know what this is, but you get the idea.
I was doing it as well. Yeah, totally. Yes, thank you.
Stay with it this afternoon, yeah?
Yeah, I will. Thanks.
We have time for one more. Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
So I wanted to bring up, so being here in the silence, I'm watching the thoughts that are coming up. And what I'm present to is actually a lot of anger and frustration. Images are coming up of, even in my dreams last night, about clients, work situations. And even I find here, there's an underlying frustration in me because I want to connect with everybody and I can't.
Why can't you?
Well,
you was going to say that, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm feeling like you shared with this lady here, like I'm feeling this frustration, limitedness, powerlessness, and it's just, I can't, it's like the thoughts are going crazy around that. Like, but the body is relaxing and but I'm really present and just witnessing it and watching it all play out, but it's a war in there.
Yeah. And does that war have to stop you from being intimate with the rest of this moment? This idea that's troubling us is the idea that you've got to get rid of this war before you can go deeper in your satsang, in your retreat. And that until this war stops happening, retreat's just kind of going on and you're missing it or something like that, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Or life or whatever. Life is going on. So you're watching these thoughts and feelings and memories, maybe images coming, all variations on this theme of anger, frustration. And as you're watching, can you watch from a different place? Can you be that space in which it's happening? The space of consciousness, of beingness, of presence, where all these bodies in this room are appearing inside you. Instead of, I'm appearing inside this body and I can't really move forward until the body changes, the emotions disappear. You play with that a little bit and see, does it feel different when you switch a little bit to a different place?
I think I've been like being open to it, because I recognize that not in the silence, it's still playing in the background, but I've been covering it up.
Yeah.
So I'm present to it, but I'm still able to be very peaceful and see the flowers. And
how can we be intimate with all of life if we won't be intimate with what we're feeling this very moment? Like, how can I have a deep and rich connectedness with everything if I won't do it with what's going on in my heart right now in this moment? It's not a conscious decision. It's not like you've decided, oh, I don't want to feel that. It's just that last little bit of something leaving here that doesn't want to be intimate, isn't it? That's all that's occurring, is something here is maturing and saying, I don't really want to do that anymore. I want to just let this be, even though it's unpleasant. And then as I'm letting it be, I can just broaden my scope to everything else that's present in this moment as well. It takes a certain amount of effort and energy to push something away. And in pushing it away, we've got to focus on it. So it's just kind of, okay, that's just there. There's a war going on. And watching it from this place, the war doesn't really have the same impact. It's probably shifting even now, something changing.
I recognize I'm tired of it. And
are you tired of rejecting it?
Yeah.
That's different, because you can change that immediately.
Yeah.
If you're tired of it, you've got no option but just to wait it out. If you're tired of rejecting it, you can just be that space in which it's happening. So as we're sitting here, stuff coming up in the body, and I don't necessarily enjoy it or I want it to continue, but I can just let it be more than I did yesterday. And in doing that, I feel more connected to everything else, more peaceful in this moment. Because it might go on for a day or more. You know, day three seems to be the magic mark where, you know, where, or maybe sooner, but some kind of insanity comes up. Whatever we've been suppressing, rejecting, we'll say, hey, are you ready to love me yet? Not you again, you know. But here in retreat, we can go, okay, I don't have to like you, but I can love you, accept you. And that's what's happening for you now, isn't it? Tired of fighting. Maybe that's the war, not the thing itself. Maybe all these memories and thoughts and emotions and images of clients and things are all hanging on to this energy, all attached to this energy of, I want to fight. And the moment you stop fighting, you could call it surrender also, couldn't we, to what is in this moment. The whole thing collapses. Is it still there now?
No, it's moving.
Yeah. So anytime it feels dense or solid, you can just go, oh, I'm kind of trying to do something with it, and just kind of see if you can open up. You can take a deep breath and stop fighting what is. And immediately the frequency of whatever we've been fighting begins to lighten, enlighten in that. Things are going to come up here in retreat in a concentrated way, because there's nothing else to distract us. You know, there's nowhere else to go, is there, than what's being present to that, which is why it works so well.
Thank you.
It's a shift of how you're dealing with it, really. And it'll come up a few more times, say, do you want to love me? And then you say, yeah, that doesn't mean I have to want you to stay or even like you, but I can accept you're here right now. And that's enough. It's a peace in that, isn't it? Wonderful. So that's helpful for everyone. Okay. 5 more minutes. You can squeeze one more in if anyone has anything. Alan's got a smile on his face. I wonder what he's cooking. Okay, we'll leave it there for today then. Thank you. Lovely.